welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
We're not going to let that keep us from hearing the Word of God and being changed by the Word of God. And so, I know I'm not, and I pray that that you as well can really just hear what God has to say for you, because I know He's got something great for you. Today, I want to just take a week. We just finished with the book of Ruth, and with just 1 week in between Ruth and Easter, the Southern Baptist Convention has kind of a calendar and different Sundays. They want to emphasize different things. Well, today is Evangelism Sunday, naturally, as it's the week leading up to Easter. We want to invite as many people to Easter service as possible. And so that's what you have your card there for on your pew, in your chair next to you. And my goal, if you don't already have a desire to hand this to somebody right now, I hope that by the end of this service, by the end of the Word of God just being spoken over us and into our hearts, that you will have a burning passion to hand this to somebody, to give it to them, to where we can see people that maybe have never stepped foot into a church walk into this church next week feeling welcomed, encouraged, and ultimately drawn to the living God who loves them. And so that's my goal. So please hold on to this and use it this week for Evangelism Week leading up to Easter. The reality is we really need to talk about evangelism, I think, quite regularly. And I try to talk about it a lot because, I don't know about you, but it's hard. It's hard for me. It can be very difficult at times to witness. I just heard in Sunday school someone sharing just this week. They came up and they were having a conversation with somebody they'd never met before. And by the end of it, they said, "Hey, do you know the Lord?" And even just that one question, when was the last time you asked somebody that you've never met before in your first conversation with them that question? I know for me, there's sparse and in between, too much in between every time I have a conversation with somebody like that. And I want to be more like that. I want to have a burning passion to tell people about the gospel that I trust in. But the reality is our anxiety can be so high about it. You can get nervous about it. I think about whenever this is embarrassing, but in college, I would have to go every once in a while, right, go and talk to my professor about a paper I'm writing or something, and I don't know what it is, it's weird. I don't get as nervous, like, speaking in front of crowds, but it was those conversations, talking to a professor or somebody in a one-on-one conversation where I'd have, like, almost a panic attack, where I would literally, so you would go up the stairs and then make a corner and just U-turn and go down the hallway into the hallway where the professor's offices are. And I remember I would walk up, they were on the third floor, I'd walk up the three flights of stairs, and I would stand before taking that turn to go down the hallway. I was in shape enough, at least where I wasn't winded at the third flight of stairs, but I was out of breath. I was like, just nervous to talk to my professor about a paper that I'm writing. I don't know why, but I would get so anxious, and so I would literally stop before making that turn and, like, just try to calm my breathing down before walking into their office. And I would even start praying, "God, just allow me to be able to get through this conversation without being out of breath." And because sometimes I would sit down and have a conversation with them, and they're like, "Yeah, what's going on? What part of the paper are you struggling with?" And I'm like, "Well, the problem is, like, there's, like, you need to take a second." I'm like, "I'm fine. It's not going to make a difference." And so I don't know if that's you, but for evangelism, but we can have such high anxieties and get nervous. Maybe your concerns is I don't know enough. You know, when I go to talk to somebody about Jesus, I don't know enough. I don't know the Bible enough, and I don't think I would be able to answer their questions if they had any questions. And you don't want to put yourself in that predicament, so we don't start the conversation at all, right? Or we get so anxious and nervous because, "Oh, they're just going to be so annoyed with me. They're going to be bothered by me." They're going to be frustrated that I'm even talking about this. Why do you have to be such a pest about this kind of thing, right? And so we get anxious about that potential response. And so the anxiety is so high for us oftentimes, and I think the urgency can be low for us. That's a bad combination. When your anxiety is high and your urgency is low, that's a good scenario for not wanting to share. The urgency can be low for many reasons, right? We can say, well, I got a lot going on right now. I'm in between errands. I probably don't have 10 minutes to spare. Urgency's low, right? Got somewhere to be right now. Or maybe just saying, look, I feel like maybe they're good. They probably have had that conversation with somebody before. They probably don't need it, right? So urgency can be low. So for most of us, our reasons not to are screaming, high anxieties, low urgency, and the reasons to evangelize, so they're altogether muted sometimes, right? Just press mute on that. And so, of course, we listen to the screaming voices saying, don't do it. Don't have that conversation. Which is strange because, if you think about it, and if we're honest with each other, we are great evangelists about the things that we're passionate about, aren't we? Talk about your favorite sports team. Might just drive people crazy that you just love talking about that sports team, or this new musician that has a new album that's come out and you just love talking about that. Favorite Netflix original series. And you're just like, man, have you seen this? This is an amazing show. It's the best show I've ever seen. We're actually amazing evangelists about the things we're passionate about. The problem is these good news messages that we're telling people are far less than the greatest news that we should be telling. Evangelism has to do with the word to talk about a good news. And we do tell people about good news. But how much less of good news are those things compared to a holy God that wants relationship with them? And so this is my plan today, okay? I'm going to do it. Sarah's not sitting in the front row to watch me because she doubted that I could do this. I'm going to prove her wrong with the podcast. Okay, I have a plan where we're going to look at 10, yes, 10 reasons in Scripture why you and I, motivations, why you and I should want to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus. I want to look at all 10 reasons from Scripture why we should go and tell the good news, not just a good news, but the best news for that person in your life. And my desire that each reason, as we just stack one on top of the other, hopefully by the end of it, it would be like bricks laying one on top of the other, adding to the weight of burden for you and I to just need to evangelize. That we would just be weighed down with this burden, like I just have to go. I have to go tell them. It's a good thing to be burdened to tell people about Jesus. So I hope that's what they serve as, almost bricks, one on top of the other, that would just weigh down this great burden I have to tell somebody. Maybe you don't like that analogy, so make it balloons, and 10 balloons filled with helium that would just lift up your excitement to go tell them, one after the other, whatever you like. I just want it to be that. They just add on to each other where you are passionate, leading up to Easter, to tell people about your risen Lord and where they can hear about it. So hold on to that card, and let's look at these 10 reasons, okay? The first reason, it's a sobering reason, is because judgment is real and imminent. Go tell people, because judgment is real and imminent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." All, so that each person may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And I promise you, it's more evil than good. And that's bad news. We all must stand before this judgment seat of Christ, each one of us. Therefore, think about this. Knowing that, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And if I think it continues on. No, it does. You can just keep reading verse 11. But we persuade others. So think about that. Everyone, yourself, myself, the person that we should be going and telling, everyone will stand before God and give an account. The scary part is there is good reason to fear the wrath of God. There's good reason to fear the wrath of God because we are imperfect and He is greatly holy. You know, the reality is I think oftentimes we understand very well, and the world even, a secular understanding of Jesus, it's easy to understand that God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. He's a God of love, a God of forgiveness. And that's all true, but equally true and less known, easily forgotten, is that God is also a God of justice. He's a God who is holy and who He has wrath, genuine wrath towards sin. And outside of Christ taking our place in that judgment, that's on the cross when He took our place, outside of Christ doing that, you or I would be guilty. And that's a very bad news. So that's one reason why we need to go tell people about Jesus. So number two, go tell people about Jesus because salvation of that bad news can only be found in the gospel message. Go tell people because that's the only message which will save them from the wrath which they are due. It's the only one. There's no other message like it. No other message will free them from the wrath of God than this one message that you and I have. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." What a glorious truth that is. Isn't that amazing? Everyone, if they call on Jesus, they'll be saved. But how then will they call on Him if in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We have to go out for them to hear it, don't we? You know, there isn't any urgency to go tell that person about Jesus and the salvation in Him if Oprah's right. That there are many paths to heaven, many ways that you can be enlightened, a whole bunch of ways how you can commune with the divine. If Oprah's right, take the week off, guys. But if the Bible's right, that there's only one path, and it's narrow, and His name is Jesus, and He is the way, not a way, He's the way. If the Bible's right, and there is only one way out of this bad news called the wrath of God, then urgency is very real. There's no greater message to be told than that salvation can be found in Jesus. So number three, go tell people because there's no greater news. There's no greater news than the news of the gospel. Psalm 40, verse 9. I have told the glad news, the good news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have a friend who recently committed his life to Christ after a long season of just rocky road, just really struggling, and he's recommitted his life. And it's just been so amazing to just see how that has shaped his evangelism. He sat down with me the other week, and he just said, "Man, I can't explain it, but I have this new passion that I didn't have before. Even though I may have been saved, I didn't have it like I do now. I just want everyone to know." And so he's sitting down with his coworkers, and he's like, hey, you got 10 seconds? Just real quick. And then it always takes way longer. His coworkers, he's going down the street, and he's talking to people at the street. He's just like, I got to shout it from the rooftops. I got to tell people about this amazing news. And he couldn't be more right. I wish more of us grasped what he sees. I wish more of us saw that. It's an amazing news. I love this quote from Martin Luther. He says, when I look at myself, I don't see how I can be saved. But when I look at Jesus, I don't see how I can be lost. And that's just so true. When I just see my sinfulness and the wrath that I deserve, it's like, yeah, there's no way. There's no way I could be saved. I'm too wretched. I'm too blemished. I'm too stained. But when I look at Christ, there's no way that I can't be lost. What an amazing reality. So these first three reasons I think we can kind of summarize as go tell them for their sake. Tell them because judgment is imminent and real, and salvation can only be found in the one message which you know, and it is the greatest message of all messages. But also tell them, this is number four, for your sake, because you, when you tell them, you won't be found guilty for not sharing. Go tell them because you won't be found guilty for not sharing when you do. It's scary to think about how we could be found guilty for not sharing. Have you ever thought about that? For not sharing, how we could be seen as guilty before God for doing that? Ezekiel 33, verse 7 to 9 says, so you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his ways, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity. But you will be delivered from your soul. You will have delivered your soul. I think this is a big reason why people don't share the gospel. It's because we get scared about what people will think. We'll be scared of the judgment that we would receive from other people. Had to get annoyed with us, frustrated with us, and we're like, oh, I just don't want to be a burden on them. And we get worried, honestly, about what they think. Anyone with me on that? I know for me, just lay my cards on the table and just do a little confession time with you. I would say that might be one of the greatest reasons why I struggle to evangelize. You know, I have family who, a number of them, I would say not only are not Christians, but they laugh at the thought of it. I have family like that who mock me for being a pastor. They think it's ridiculous. They say, like, oh, hey, there's the Pope walking in. And, I heard that a millionth time. And, yeah. But you know what? And I still get scared to tell them about the gospel, which I cling to, because I'm scared of what they'll think or what they'll say. I am petrified of their judgment and their frustration. Where I think I should be more scared of the judgment and the frustration of God for not sharing. Amen. Stephen Lawson said a quote, so powerful. If you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. And if you displease God, it really doesn't matter who you do please. Just got to think about that for a second. We should go witness to people and tell them about the gospel, even running the risk that they might be annoyed with us about that. Why? Because pleasing God is far more important. I'm not saying go out and be a jerk. shove it in their face and say, well, at least I'm doing what God wants me to do. No, I'm not saying that, because God wouldn't be pleased with that. What I'm saying is, don't let the fear of man or the opinion of man stop you from obeying the commandment of God. That's what I'm saying. We can be kind, gentle, loving, and still care about pleasing God more than pleasing how they might respond. So that's number four, why we should go and evangelize, because then you won't be found guilty before God for not sharing. Number five, because it is sharing is actually evidence of your own salvation. Do you know that? Going and evangelizing and telling people about Christ is actually one of the evidences that you are a born-again believer. So go evangelize and let it be evidence that you love Jesus. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9 say, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, it's witnessing, evangelizing, who stand up for Christ, then the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So hear me, saint, Christian, evangelize and let it be evidence of your own salvation. You might say you're a Christian, and I may take your word for it, but if you live unashamedly like you are a Christian, I won't just take your word for it, I'll be convinced of it. But thank God there's grace for that, right? Thank God, because I'd like to think that I'm not the only one in the room who's slipped up and just shied away and chickened out and didn't share. Thank God there's grace for that, right? Think about Peter. Peter's a perfect example. If you know the story of the disciples of Christ, Peter denied Christ how many times? Three times. And he's still a pillar of the church. So I want to say, go evangelize because it's evidence of your salvation. But at the same breath, I want to say, you're not going to lose your salvation just because you chickened out. Right? But think about how Peter responded when he did chicken out three times in a row. He didn't say, whew, I still have my salvation. I guess I can keep doing that and keep not sharing and choosing the comfort route. He didn't see the grace that God gave him as freedom to continue denying Christ for the rest of his life. No, Peter wept because he denied Christ and chickened out. And then he changed. And he lived the rest of his life with boldness. So much so that he ended up having to get killed because he kept evangelizing and he wouldn't stop. Threw him in jail, beat him, sent him back out, evangelized. Threw him back in jail, beat him, sent him out. He kept evangelizing until finally they killed him. That was the only way to shut him up. So there's grace when we don't share. But don't let that grace be freedom to just continue not sharing. Go evangelize because it is evidence of your salvation. Number six, go evangelize because Jesus is their rightful Lord. He deserves their praise. He is rightfully their object of affection. Go evangelize because Christ is their rightful Lord, whether they know it or not. Matthew chapter 28. Maybe you know this passage, verses 18 and 19. Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because he has all authority, go and make disciples of all the nations. Why? Because he has authority over all those nations. He says, go and tell my disciples, make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody who doesn't love Jesus, whether they like it or not, whether they want to be or not, Isn't it amazing to think about how they do live under his dominion? They're breathing his air. They're enjoying his blessings, his gifts, his world. They're living under his authority. Popular quote from Abraham Kuyper says, "There's not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" Even if they don't want to admit it or accept it or want to submit to it, their life, their family, their possessions, their future, their career, it's all his. It's all his. So we should go tell them that. Hey, that's Jesus's. Your life is Jesus's. And that may be awkward, but it needs to be told. Think about last Christmas. We were having a time where all the kids were opening presents and everything, and so awkward. One of the kids was opening up this big present. Happened to be Judah's present, but they thought it was their present. And they're just opening it up and like, "Oh, Mom, look at this." Ah, and they're just so excited. And Grandma's sitting in the back like, and she leans over and tells Sarah and I, she's like, "That's Judah's." What do we do? And so I don't remember who went and had to do it. Certainly wasn't me. I was like, "Nope, I got to go to the bathroom." And I walked away. Somebody had to go and say, "Hey, buddy, that's Judah's. That's not yours." And they're like, "What?" "But you've got all these presents." And, you know, you had to. We have to do that in people's lives and say, "That's Jesus's. Your life is Jesus's. Whether you want it to be or not, it's his. Whether you'll accept it or not, doesn't change the fact that it's his." We should tell people about Jesus because Jesus is their rightful Lord. So therefore, we are told to go and tell them of his authority in their lives. Which leads to number 7. Go tell them because it is what God has called us to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says, "Christ entrusted to" who? Us. Christ has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Did you know that, Christian? That he has entrusted you with his message? That's what it says. That's what it says. He's entrusted you with his message. Did you know that? That he has appointed you as an ambassador. Did you know that he has enlisted you to make an appeal on his behalf? It's the awesome thing about God, though. He's not only called you to do it, which is number 7, but number 8, he's equipped you to do it. Go evangelize, not only because he's told you to do it, but because he's equipped you with everything you need in order to do it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. I love this. God gave us a spirit. That's what he gave us. That's what he equipped us with. His spirit. Not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, because he gave you that, because he equipped you with that, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me in his imprisonment, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So that's number 8. Go share because he has given you what you need to do it. So notice this progression here in reasons, I think, 6, 7, and 8. Jesus is the rightful Lord of their life. So therefore, he's called you to tell them of His majesty. And He's given you everything you need to go do that. We have no excuse. He's the rightful Lord. He's called us to do it. And He's given us what we need to do that. So we should do that. I know I've done a bunch of quotes, but there's so many good ones. Charles Spurgeon said, I know it's small, I'm sorry, it's a long quote. It's just powerful. Do something, do something, do something. While societies make constitutions, let us win souls. I pray you be men of action, all of you. And then there's his name, Suvorov's. It was a general in the, I think, Russian army. Suvorov's idea of war is mine. Forward and strike. No theory. Attack. Form a column. Charge bayonets. Plunge into the center of the enemy. Our one aim is to win souls. And this we are not to talk about, but do in the power of God. He's given us what we need to go do that. So our goal in evangelizing is that they would begin to give deserved praise to their rightful King. And we can do that in such a loving way. Number 9, when we do that, it increases the glory given to God. I think that's reason enough to go evangelize. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, as grace extends to more and more people, it will increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Do you see that, what he's saying there? As we go and tell more and more and more and more and more people, then all the more and more and more there will be a thankfulness given up to God of his good news and his love for people, and all that thankfulness will serve as giving glory to God. So go evangelize so more glory would be given to God. I think that's just one and only reason to evangelize, is because God receives the glory he deserves. It's amazing. Last reason, number 10, because it draws the end of the world closer. It's an interesting one. It draws the end of the world closer. Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end, and he says this, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So evangelize because it will draw the end of the world closer. I think you and I, it's common. Maybe it's just me, maybe not. But I think oftentimes we can think the second coming is completely independent of anything we do or don't do. It's just going to happen when it happens. Completely independent of anything we do. The reality is, the Bible says that we usher it in. It comes because we have brought the gospel to all peoples. We're the start of the dominoes, which leads to the end of the world. This ripple effect starts by sharing with the person next to you so that they would share to the person next to them until the end comes. It's amazing. So I want to think about this. All 10 reasons. We made it through, didn't we? We can separate those into 4 basic general categories of reasons why. First, reasons 1 through 3, evangelize for their sake. Evangelize for that person's sake. Because judgment is real, because there's no salvation for them outside of that gospel. But that gospel is the best news that they could ever hear. So evangelize for their sake, but also evangelize for your sake. Tell people about Jesus for your sake. Frees us from guilt for not sharing. And it's the evidence of our love for Jesus. Evangelize for their sake, evangelize for your sake, evangelize for his sake. Because he is Lord. He's called you to go tell them. He's equipped you to go tell them. He's glorified throughout it. And then lastly, evangelize for eternity's sake, because we draw the end near. Guys, there's so many reasons to go tell people about Jesus. So here's what I would just want to encourage you with in my last remarks. This week, don't let the end of the week come with this still in your back pocket. Think about who you might just be able to start a conversation with and hand that to them. Say, hey, Easter's coming up. Do you want to come and sit by me? Maybe ask that really hard question. Do you know the Lord? Just want to have a conversation about it. I'd love to sit with you on Sunday. Don't finish the week with this still in your pocket. I won't. I'm going to do my absolute best to find somebody somewhere in town that I'm going to hand this to. But just in general, outside of this week, let's make evangelism a descriptor of us, right? The kind of people that we are. May we just want to be people that tell others about the good news that we believe in and trust in. May your prayer be like that of Jim Elliot. This is what I want to finish with. It's an amazing prayer that he prays. Just think about this, and then I want to pray it over us, and then I want us just to sing and think about how we would have a burning passion and a fire to tell people about the Lord that we love. This is a prayer prayed by a man who was a missionary and was murdered on the missions field for telling people about the gospel that he believes in. This was his prayer. Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those that I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road, but make me a fork in the road that men must turn one way or another on facing Christ in me. I don't want to be just a milepost. I want to be a fork in the road. And I hope and pray that that would be your desire too. Let's be people of evangelism. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for the gospel of salvation from the wrath that we could have, but we don't have to have because we have you. And so, Lord, would you be with us today? Help us to have this passion. Would you burn this passion within us to tell others about not just a good news, oh, but the greatest news, the best news. Help us to have an excitement for it ourselves and to share that excitement like a wildfire. To do something, do something, do something. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.